We heard the third movement from The Pines of Rome by Ottorino Respighi. And yes, you heard bird sounds in that piece. It goes back to 1924, kind of a radical step for Ottorino Respighi at the time. And if you didn't recognize the bird calls, well, those were Italian birds, maybe Rome, specific Roman city birds in the recording. We heard it, recording by the Dallas Symphony, Eduardo Mata conducting, and it's 16 minutes past the hour now. I'm Cara Lawrence. Right now, I'm very pleased to welcome to the airwaves Dr. Keith Kothman, the new School of Music Director at Western Michigan University. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Cara.
Nice to talk to you today. I've been really looking forward to this as I've been getting in touch with faculty members at the School of Music. I'm hearing about the extraordinary preparations and sort of science-based research and understanding they have about how to make music during a pandemic. I think we will get to that topic very soon, but I'd like to get to know you first and have our listeners learn about your background. So before Western Michigan University, could you tell us where you were teaching or administrating and kind of some tidbits about your background?
Sure. So most immediately, I was director of the School of Music at Montana State University in Bozeman, Montana. And that was my first director role. I've been teaching college for over 25 years. And have been around a lot of spaces, places. I've been actually is just a little bit south at Ball State University. I taught there for 14 years. I directed the music technology program for a while, taught composition. I was coordinator of undergraduate programs for a little bit as well. I grew up in Texas, so it's one of the things with music and in that world. I grew up in San Antonio. I was a band kid in public school and went to the University of Texas thinking I would be a jazz musician. But I really got interested in electronic music and composition and kind of about 2 years in as an undergrad changed directions into that world of composition, electronic music, and kept moving down that path. I really like sound, and making interesting sounds appeals to me, and pursued that.
Did that involve a lot of self-taught computer skills?
At the beginning, that was part of it. My dad was an engineer and worked for the Air Force and installed one of the first mainframe computers within his division in the Air Force. So I learned a bit about programming and taking care of computers. I always had an interest in synthesizers, too, and synthesizer music. And we had classes. We did have classes and things that helped move that along. So there was part in my background and part of the things that I had opportunities to study, both at Texas and beyond, and in Stockholm and at the University of California, San Diego.
Did you happen to cross paths with composers Christopher Biggs or Lisa Kuntz, who are both interested in electronic music and are on the faculty at Western?
So I've known Christopher Biggs for quite a while. I met him personally as part of the profession maybe 13 years ago, and have been in touch ever since. I haven't known Lisa personally, but it's been really nice to be here and get to know her. I taught one of the faculty members for a few years while I was at Ball State. Carter Rice, who's a composer that directs the Multimedia Arts Technology Program, was a doctoral student at Ball State when I was there before I moved to Montana. So that's, it's great to be part of that and to be part of that group. They're wonderful colleagues, talented composers.
That might have been a factor in, deciding this was a good fit for you. Now, before the pandemic started, what other elements about the Western School of Music made you think this was the right fit for you at this time?
Well, it's a phenomenal school, and so I was familiar with it from being in the region, but also from knowing people here. It has a wonderful faculty, and I've really gotten to know them, even though this is a difficult transition because you can't meet with groups of people. So it's been a lot of online and individual meetings with distancing and things like that. But you saw what the faculty were doing, and that was just so interesting and such a great talent. And what the students are able to do. It's a large, comprehensive school of music with interesting programs and successful students, and it appeals to me for that. I really like a place that is comprehensive and that students can find their path when they're here, because that really speaks to my background and figuring out what I didn't know and what I wanted to know and having those opportunities. And I think that Western offers those same experiences in a really high-quality school. It's just, I really enjoyed my interview when I came. It just, the activity and the people were fantastic.
One of the kind of hallmarks of the faculty is they lead by example in a lot of ways by continuing to perform professionally while teaching students, but they also can be found in concertizing both in Michigan and far beyond. It was that important to you in your career, both maintaining your composition or performing as well as becoming an excellent educator?
It was. It's hard now as an administrator. You trade certain parts of your life. So the composing has slowed down. I'm hoping to kind of address that after riding the wave into this mm-hmm. transition. As a student, it's how you connect. So I started traveling to festivals and performing my music when I was a master's student at the University of Texas. And that really opened up the world to me from where I was and what I knew of the musical world and the musical profession. That was so important. So I mean, it's just a major thing, and it's been a big part of my teaching is to get students out into the profession. See that it's a huge part of what the faculty do here. So that's so much. And it's been such a big upheaval for everyone. I'm just in awe of the faculty and students that are able to keep doing what they do, because that's ultimately what it comes down to. We make music. And so the conditions have changed, and we have to decide if we're going to continue to make music or stop. And stopping's not an option when you're a musician. You just have to find other ways to make music.
So in the middle of summer, you arrive or maybe in June, was it?
End of June.
And suddenly you're in a position, along with the advice and help of faculty and administration, to kind of invent a way to teach and a way to move forward. And it looks like, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be a hybrid model, student choice being they can choose their comfort level of in person and online. What are some of the other overarching guidance that you have put together?
Well, I got to start meeting with the faculty, or at least with the administrators and staff. I think starting in the end of May, I started sitting in on meetings. Since we were all online everywhere and all of our meetings were happening online, I was able to join in discussions before I came out. That was really helpful. Faculty are really looking at their areas and how do they respond based on, at the time, information we just didn't really know. That information has been coming out now, and we've been adapting. And I think that, flexibility has been key. We haven't known all the answers, and we still don't know all the answers, so we're trying to use the best information we have and make the best decisions with the flexibility that like I say, we want students to continue. So if a student wants to be online and be at home. We want them to continue their studies and to continue to make music. That's the overarching factor. And if they want to be here, we're trying to do that in the safest way possible. It impacts everything from the performance to, for instance, in music education, our students would normally be doing student teaching for a semester in the schools, and we would have other students who are not student teachers but would be going one day a week to the schools in the community. And so it's really, for me, I see both this fantastic response to how do we teach and how do we do those things, but also I feel like we can be helpful. We can be this resource for K through 12 schools in the area, for community groups. And how do you keep making music if high school band is happening online, or high school choir or middle school choir? How do you keep making music in the schools and making sure that the community still has ways to make music? And what can we do to help? And I think that's been a big piece of what we're doing. But it's affected us in every way. So we're trying to make sure that we have the options for online, for a mix of online and in-person, for what's safe. I mean, you've been hearing from different directors and faculty about what that means specifically, but we just have to keep changing that too. I think the flexibility has been the biggest theme.
There's such a lot of uncertainty, but it sounds like if you've been gaming out all the possibilities since June or late May, that's what you can do. I'm kind of interested in what you said about the connection between this music education at Western and high schools and ways to connect. Just yesterday, Scott Borma said he on the air that he never felt closer to his fellow college band directors around the country because they've been meeting and funding research and finding the best information they can. So could you talk a little more about how it might work for a music education major to still interact with possible students in, say, the Kalamazoo Public Schools?
Sure. And again, we're working through this because we didn't actually even know until recently what teaching in the Kalamazoo Public Schools would look like, right? Everybody's making a decision about what works best for them, and it's necessarily late. So we have faculty and students who have worked through this issue, just as the teachers have. We've worked through different technologies. We've been meeting with all of our colleagues around the country and the world to talk about how to do music online. What are some tools? What are some ways? What are some better ways to get musical quality in a live video conference? And so it's that expertise of really diving in and looking at the problem. Greg Jasper, the jazz vocal director, a faculty member, ran a virtual jazz voice camp this summer with the New York Voices. And usually they're here in person, and it focuses on jazz ensemble, small group singing and harmony. And they made extensive use of a web-based digital recording workstation package called Soundtrap. And so they could provide musical tracks via a digital audio workstation that runs in a browser. They could provide piano, drums, bass tracks, and students could work on their individual choral parts, their harmony parts, their singing, and record themselves. And they had a whole concert of virtual choral pieces at the end of the week, just 5 days, that they were able to put this all together. And so we have experience in this technology. We've done things, we've tried things, and we can help with teachers in the schools who want to do things like that, who when students are separated and in their different spots, can still do things that gives them a feeling of connection to other musicians.
Yeah, one thing I've been hearing is that popular meeting apps like Zoom actually are not ideal for music making because there's a latency or a lag time that causes musicians to be unable to hear or communicate musically. Is that something you've tried to work around, find new programs, find what low latency devices that can make music making a little easier?
Sure. And that's, I think all of our heads are spinning at how many things we've looked at and tried. there is one technology that allows for low latency share music making on the internet. Does require a hardwired Ethernet connection to the internet rather than a Wi-Fi network. And a little bit of technical knowledge to set it up, and I know some faculty have been experimenting with that. The technology has been getting better, and we've looked at hybrid, like using Zoom or WebEx to do the video, to share video, but using another program called CleanFeed, which can do higher quality audio. A lot of radio broadcasters and television broadcasters have been using that because the audio is better. Both Zoom and WebEx have recently upgraded their music capability and Zoom quite well. So we're starting to look at that. That's just been in the last week or two. Because different tools and things that we can do to connect can help. But that's been a big part of the summer.
I'm speaking with Keith Kothman, who is the new School of Music director at Western Michigan University and took the position right after COVID had started up, and you're picking up the reins in a really strange period. Glad to hear that you already had an opinion about the School of Music here and were really eager to work with this faculty and student body of this wonderful school that is somewhat under the radar for some. Great program. But you may end up in a week's time, the students come back next Wednesday, you may end up with a COVID outbreak on campus. What kind of alarms get pulled, and what will happen in that situation?
Well, we're thinking about that. I should also say I have a wonderful staff, and I think it would have been impossible without the help of my predecessor, Brad Wong, but also the professional staff in the school, because they're all looking at the different aspects of this, from registration and academic sides to scheduling and all the physical logistics that go on. They're a wonderful group. The university as a whole is looking at its options in response. Some schools have had more blanket responses of moving everything online. I think Michigan State actually sounded like that was happening, but is actually having some of their performance-oriented or lab-oriented courses still happening in person. And so those kinds of decisions are up to the university, that with the advice of county health and Syndicues, we have a great health center on campus, and that kind of involvement, they're going to make decisions, and we're going to adapt. The faculty spent the early part of the summer planning for different contingencies. What happened if we were entirely online? What would happen if we're doing this where some students are back? We'll just go back to our planning and say, well, here's what we planned out. Here are our options, and we'll do what we have to do.
I remember seeing Brad Wong at nearly every concert that the School of Music would put on, either with student performers or guest artists, or he was a familiar presence. Is that something you liked to do as well as a School of Music director in Montana? Just stop in on the activity, on the performances.
Sure, you have to. I mean, you do this because you want to support people making music. You want to support faculty and students and what they do. So you want to see them. You want to hear them. You want to. That's the hard thing right now is I don't get to just drop in. It takes a little bit of advanced work and planning. And I miss that connection, really. So I'm really wanting, it's a part of my normal work that being at concerts, you can't be at everything all the time, but being at what you can be, to know the faculty and what they do, to know the students and what they do, it's important to know that the school supports them and that the administration supports them.
Yeah, that's how the community is created, I think. And you can get to know even the newest freshmen through their playing a lot quicker than maybe you can remember a person's name. You know, you're like, that's the one who really has a feel for this music.
Yes, by all means.
Well, Keith, I think we'll end our conversation here for the time being. I do hope that we can get some updates together in the weeks to come. And was there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about yourself or about the upcoming semester, your hopes? And please feel free.
Well, I really want to thank you for the opportunity to just be able to introduce myself and to talk a bit about the school and what we're trying to do. I'm really excited. I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited and really gratified by the opportunity that the faculty and the administration have given me and want to do the best that I can to continue what has been a wonderful tradition of music making and education in Southwest Michigan.
Well, I picked out a piece of music that, to me, struck on a couple of things. Knowing that you have a background in clarinet, I wanted to feature one of the great clarinetists of today named Anthony McGill. You might be familiar with the principal of the New York Phil at this point. And he's here with his brother, DeMar McGill, is a marvelous flutist, principal of Seattle Symphony. And with pianist Michael McHale, they recently recorded a piece called A Fish Will Rise, which, of course, knowing your Montana background, well, I don't know if you ever got around to any fly fishing, actually, in that state.
I was not, but that was a constant for so many. I feel ashamed to say.
Well, I mean, hey, you're from Texas, so I'm sure you had other pastimes besides fly fishing. But let's end with this wonderful piece, A Fish Will Rise by Chris Rogerson, recently recorded by Anthony and DeMar McGill with Michael McHale. And Keith, it's been great to talk to you, and I too, the pleasure's all mine. I really appreciate you taking this time and sharing so much about yourself and the School of Music plans for this year during a really, really difficult time. Thanks again.
Thank you, Kara.